A sudden hint of spring in the air caught Mrs. Madrigal off guard as she swept the courtyard at 28 Barbary Lane. Spring again on the lane. Vagrant daffodils loitering among the garbage cans, the smell of cat fur and lilacs and sun-warmed eucalyptus bark, and dear sweet Brian sunning himself on the bricks. For the first time in weeks, her family seemed intact again. Michael was greatly improved, according to John, and would be coming home in a matter of days. Marianne and Burke were nesting comfortably in their respective apartments, though they appeared to need only one. Brian, of course, was still in the little house on the roof. And Mona, her own precious daughter, had moved in permanently downstairs as soon as Mother Mucka had returned to Winnemucca. It was springtime and all was well, except for something about Mona's behavior that disturbed her. "Brian, dear." He arched his neck, smiling up at her, greased and graceful in his green Speedo trunks. "This boy," thought Anna, "is a curious mixture of menace and vulnerability. A coyote begging for scraps." "Yeah?" he said. "I'm in your way?"
"No, no. I can sweep around you. I wanted to ask you something."
"Sure. Shoot."
"Do you and Mona communicate very often?"
Brian laughed cynically. "I think relate is the word she'd use."
"Oh, dear. There's been friction?"
He nodded. "Nothing drastic. I invited her to dinner, and she told me that the energy was wrong. She couldn't relate to someone who, in her words, spent his Wonder Bread years learning to unhook bra straps."
"Oh, my. I hope you didn't let her get away with that."
Brian smiled wickedly. "I told her she wasn't putting off enough energy to power a dime store vibrator. Just your basic small talk. She told you about it, huh?"
"No. I just thought you might have some clue as to why. She isn't herself, Brian. Something's bothering her a great deal, but I can't get her to talk to me about it. And I thought that maybe you..."
"I guess it'll pass." Brian sensed her distress. "She's happy with you. Her new home, I mean. I know that much."
"Oh, she told you that?"
"She's told everybody that." The landlady smiled.
"She's a good person, most of the time. Please don't give up on her for dinner."
So Brian tried again. He called Mona as soon as he got back to the little house on the roof. "Why do you hate me?"
"Who is this?
Is it because I work at Perry's? Or that I'm straight?"
"Brian."
"I'm in no mood. I'm not a pig, Mona. I'm promiscuous as hell, but I'm not a male chauvinist pig. For Christ's sake, I was at Wounded Knee, Mona."
"Don't expect me to validate your..."
"You were?"
"Mm-hmm."
"I don't believe you."
"I cooked a meatloaf." "At Wounded Knee?"
"Yesterday, you heartless woman. I cooked a goddamn meatloaf for the first time in my life, and you won't even eat it with me."
She laughed in spite of herself.
"You didn't tell me that." "I'm telling you now. Come to dinner, Mona. Tonight."
She accepted more readily than he expected. He spent the rest of the afternoon cooking his first meatloaf.
Mona and Marianne passed on the stairway at 4:30. Mona was making a last-minute dash to the laundry. Marianne was heading out to meet John for a trip to St. Sebastian's. Mona, Marianne noted, seemed far less laid back than usual, and she was smiling.
"Give Mouse a sloppy kiss for me, okay?"
"I will," said Marianne. When she and John reached St. Sebastian's, Marianne realized with some guilt that kisses were all she had given Michael during his time of crisis. Burke's phobia had ruled out even the quickest visit to the hospital florist. But Burke was in Jackson Square now, getting a haircut at Alexandra's, so why shouldn't she pick up a nice azalea or something? She told John she would meet him upstairs and headed for the glass-fronted shop in the hospital lobby. When she entered, there was no one in sight, so she rang the bell on the counter. Presently, a man emerged from the refrigerated chamber in the rear of the shop.
"Brr,"
he said merrily. "I like it better out here." If he recognized his customer, he gave no indication of it. But she knew who he was, instantly. The man
with the transplant.